So it looks like we're back in the saddle after a few weeks off. So much to talk about.
About what?
A little bit of baseball.
Right, baseball.
Yeah, baseball. I know it's been a few weeks since I've been plugged in, but this is a baseball podcast, isn't it?
It still is, yes. It still is. There was some thought of maybe switching over to highlight, but honestly, that's a made-up sport and isn't real.
Yeah, no talk about cestas and pelotas.
Honestly, I remember seeing highlight clips in Miami Vice in the in the thing, and I just like that's just made up. I've never seen you don't see highlights anywhere.
No,
I mean I guess really when someone dies, right? There's YouTube clips.
Maybe, but I don't know. But
it was like that was the only place I ever saw it, and I was like, oh wow, look, that's a weird thing they do in Miami. Also, cocaine and hookers and whatever, but that's available everywhere else.
Actually, I've been to highlight 2 or 3 times. They had a couple in Connecticut, and it's entertaining.
Wait, but what?
They had highlight in Connecticut. Two frontons in Connecticut.
Wow. Did they have the cocaine and the hookers?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Connecticut.
It's like going to the track, though. These guys, you watch it. It's playing numbers. It's weird, actually.
Oh, okay.
So this is not episode 86 of Highlight territory. This is episode 86 of Foul territory. And there is no player in the history of baseball to ever wear number 86 at the major league level. So
interesting. The number 86.
Absolutely. So I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And we're going to talk a little bit of Hot Stove League Baseball, which has really been percolating pre-Hot Stove winter meeting. So exciting.
Is it just me, or does it seem like each year it slows down more? Like, I remember last year was so slow with the free agents and the movement, and it was like, come on, and then that blizzard hit, and it was like the coldest of hot stoves, and then it kind of warmed up a little bit, and then it didn't really go, and then it kind of, and then some players got screwed, and then there was collusion, and then there was grievances, and it feels like we're not headed that same place again, because I do think we're going to... But there's a lot of player movement possible. The trade rumor mill is going crazy.
But there has been some activity already that is...
There has been some, but I'm talking about the money guys.
Right, yeah. Those usually wait. I mean, the winter meetings are when things really in earnest kicked off, and that's next week, right?
Yeah. You're right. Henderson Alvarez signed. I take it back, John. There's been plenty of movement, and it doesn't feel at all stultified. I take it back.
There's been movement. I mean, you get to, you have some of the big names that signed, like Josh Donaldson signing so soon.
Right. For $23 million. What do you think? Is that enough money?
Is that enough money for him? I'd be happy with it.
I think it's a win-win for everybody, right? Yeah. Like limited obligation.
And it's a health bet. And I think he realized going in that he had no choice but to show that he was healthy and could still perform if he was going to get anything more than that.
Because he's 33 now?
I think 33 during the season.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. What do you figure? He does 1 year and then maybe does well with the Braves, but they have Austin Riley coming. I don't know.
I think this is a one and done. Hopefully he has a good season, hits 35 home runs, 100 RBIs,
400 on base.
On base is up again, and obviously the glove work, but he's hoping, I would think, for a 3-year deal after this season in the 25 range per season, I would guess.
Right.
That would be the best case scenario, I think, for him.
I mean, you think about it. If he had gone into free agency a year earlier, how much more money? Oof.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, I guess. When you're making as much money as these guys make, it doesn't really matter, so who cares? But
yeah, I mean, the money is sick. It's sick money.
Yeah.
It's not basketball player money when, bench guys are making $20 million a year.
Yeah, right. when their money went up, that got crazy.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. But, the market supports it.
Yeah.
People are willing to pay it. The business is thriving. Why not? Why not?
And, again, live sports, with everything streaming and everything DVRing and all that stuff, live sports, I'm telling you. I've been telling you this for years. I've been telling anyone who will listen. I've been telling the homeless guy outside my building who is like, okay, crazy guy. He's like, okay, crazy guy who's not homeless and is being totally crazy. I get it. live sports is where more advertisers are going to go because you can't get around the advertising.
Right.
And that means more money for players. And, oh, the ticket prices are too high. Blah, blah, blah. Don't pay it. Don't pay the ticket prices. Stay home and watch it on your 55-inch television. It's like being there. Plus, you go to the bathroom whenever you want. You don't have to stand in a pool of another man's urine.
Right. Or have someone start talking to you and you know, like you give a shit about what he has to say about the game. Which happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end, you know, that when you're departing the arena or stadium and your team either won or lost and there's the drunk dude that's engages you at the urinal.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like, yeah, okay, sure. Sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, please stop urinating on me.
That's my shoe please you're urinating
face
on,
face forward.
Sir.
You can talk all you want. Face forward.
Yeah, don't face me, dude. I got a family to go home to.
Point that thing somewhere else.
Right. So the Braves have been, you know, showing that they're interested in getting better than they were last year, and they're kind of going all in. I guess that's new stadium money that's, you know, paving the way for some dollars. But Brian McCann comes home. Josh Donaldson at
for
third.
$3 million. $3 million. I guess he's going to be like the lefty platoon.
So he's really declined.
Yeah.
You know, he went from.
I mean, he kind of spiked and then. Yeah.
Well, his best time was with the Braves, and he leveraged that into a nice deal with the Yankees, and now he's petering out.
Yeah. He's wandering around the league. Like the homeless guy outside my building.
So, what do you think about the Braves overall?
I still understand. I thought they should spend money on an outfielder. I don't dig.
Well, yeah, with Markakis gone or leaving, you would think that that would have been a priority. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, Harper would be a great fit there.
Yeah, and I don't think they can do Donaldson and Harper. But maybe Harper was just like, yeah, I don't want to go to Atlanta. Can't really blame him. I don't even know what that means. After all the corrupt voting practices that took place there, John. Just remember, John.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
You can't. No, here's the thing. You cannot question the legitimacy of an election unless you lose.
Right.
If you question the legitimacy of election, it challenges the very fabric of our country. Unless you're the one that loses, then you are allowed to challenge the election process.
Yeah, I've been kind of unplugged, so I knew there was some recounts.
Florida and
going
Georgia
on. Is Georgia
went
or
crazy
Georgia's
balls.
Done, isn't it? Georgia?
They're all done.
Oh, they're all done.
They're all done, but they went crazy balls. Like the Broward County election. Like, I don't know if it was necessarily deliberately corrupt or whatever, but just like absolute pure incompetence. But they were just, you know. I mean, they were committing crimes, violating court orders, and just like, didn't care. Like, we'll do what we want.
Didn't they start the recount and then they realized they were counting the wrong ballots or something?
Yeah, they were doing all kinds of weird stuff, and then the Republican wound up getting more votes in the recount, and oops, they accidentally didn't submit them in time. So we'll just go with the other. It's just like, what are you doing?
Well, it just goes to show you, though, that when you're talking about elections, modern day elections, where it's all about electronics in some cases, and it takes longer to tally something up if it's big numbers and it's really close, that there's always going to be stuff that falls through the cracks. So it just makes you wonder how much, what's the percentage that falls through the cracks that never gets counted.
You know? Yeah, and some of these get really close, you know, like
thousands
of votes.
You
think, like, oh, it's. There were hundred in Utah. It was a question of hundreds.
Really?
Yeah.
That's close.
Yeah. And then in Florida, whoever designed the ballot made it so that the first question or the first nominees is no one cares about this. But anyway, I just thought it was hilarious. Like, because the Democratic senator should have won, but because where they put that ballot choice on the ballot, it looked like it was just part of the instructions.
Oh.
So a lot of people didn't vote.
Missed it.
In that, like, there were more people who voted for, like, the head of the agricultural commissioner than voted for the senator of Florida.
Wow.
But it was just because of where it was laid out, and it's like, well, who approved that? Who didn't think? Like, how have you not learned that lesson yet?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was designed by
elections
a Republican.
Elections are amazing. Could it have been designed by a Republican? I mean, if they did it on purpose.
Brilliant.
Again, brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely brilliant. And my hat's off to the Republican who pulled that off. But generally speaking, we're talking about bureaucrats, and the easy answer is always incompetence.
Right. Right. Speaking of not incompetent, probably the biggest story so far of the offseason, well, not the latest one, but the biggest one, is the Yankees trading for, what's his name?
Paxton.
What was his nickname? I'm drawing a
Big blank. Maple.
Big Maple, yeah. So I was trying to remember his nickname. Yeah. So that was a big deal.
Yeah, no, it's a great deal. The Yankees absolutely need starting pitching. They could probably still use another one, maybe even two guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it harms fantasy baseball-wise, for those of you who are into that, I think it harms Paxton a little bit. I think it knocks
stadium.
Him down from like maybe the top 15 to maybe the top 25, which is not necessarily a big deal. Plus, he's in the AL East now, which is, I think, a tougher.
Yeah, and I to me, his value drops a little bit even more because we don't know what his injury history is going to be. And
well, yeah, there's that.
You know, does it play out? You know, it's going to be interesting. I think the Mariners will definitely, in the long term, win out on that deal.
I mean, the odds are that Sheffield will give them more value over the next. Justice Sheffield, by the way, is who they traded for, and the problem with him is that they're not everyone's convinced this guy is like actually a great starting pitching prospect.
Right. The jury is out. 2 years ago, he was. Now people are like, he hasn't developed as fast as we thought he would.
Right.
And he doesn't seem like he's ready for the major league level, you know, consistently.
Right.
And, he
and maybe he's a long reliever and not a starter. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so the Mariners really like Sheffield. And I'd heard somewhere that Sheffield was offered for some other deal and was turned down. Who was it that was looking at trade to someone? Anyway, maybe it was, I don't remember who it was. Anyway, but it just wasn't enough. Sheffield wasn't enough. And like different teams have different values of players. Like they see different things and they look at different numbers. It's not like there's one set list. I mean, heck, if you look at the top prospect lists available in baseball, there's five that are like the top. And they're all different. And there's a guy who's number 32 on one who isn't in the top 100 on the other.
Right.
But it's a good trade for the Yankees and a solid trade for the Mariners and potentially a very good trade for the Mariners.
Yeah. And the bigger thing, I think, for Mariners fans is that this is a step backwards. You know, they're obviously retooling, you know, as DePoto has said, is that they're retooling for a run between 20 and 22. That's really where his goal is, that, you know, that this is where our mindset is that it's a short term.
Right.
It's not a rebuild. It's a retooling. Rumors flying all over the place that Cano will be gone.
Right. That would be part of a retool.
Yep. And that would be a good thing because they're really, I mean, they need him at first base. That's really where they need him.
Right.
But that's not his position. He becomes the DH, you know, kind of a regular DH thing. And he's got 5 years left. So he's not, you know, they missed the window with him for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting rid of Paxton, who was their bona fide ace, and when Felix Hernandez is your number 5-6, and everything in between that is not that consistent. Mike Leake, maybe.
Right.
You have to wonder, you know, unless Sheffield comes up next year and dominates, which probably is not going to happen, you're still two starters, still need two new frontline starters.
Yeah.
They have problems in their rotation right now. They have good defense, good speed on base percentage, but their pitching is not going to. And I think that showed in their numbers last year. You know, they were an 89-win team that was more like a 75-win team.
Yeah, I mean, if they can trade Segura and Cano, and with Cano, you don't even really need to get a lot of prospects back. You just get that contract off the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, put a little into some farm system stuff. And then that prepares you for sort of the back end of your run to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, get a little clever with free agency maybe next year, not signing like a Cano, but signing, you know, like a Pollock, AJ Pollock level guy. I think, you know, they can turn it back around, but they, you know, I always like when teams retool, when they look at their team and they're just like, this isn't quite enough to get over the Yankees, to get over the Red Sox, the Indians and the Astros. let's see about going in 2 years.
And yeah, I think it makes sense, too, because when you look at how dominant the top teams are in the American League, they're playing for a wild card spot for the next few years. So that's really all they should be looking at. They're not going to be strong enough to contend with the Astros in that division, that's for sure.
Right. Though I'm very curious to see where the Astros, what they wind up doing this offseason, because their offense, of course, was so great last year, and they have all these prospects coming that can help fill out. They have Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, who they got from the Dodgers for a relief pitcher who's turned into like a top 25 prospect. And they have all the hitting they could ever want. They have positional flexibility. But the pitching is now kind of just, what's his name, Verlander and Garrett Cole. Like, that's their starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Keuchel is a free agent. Lance McCullers out for the season.
Right.
And Charlie Morton's a free agent. So do they re-sign some of those guys? And then everyone's getting raises, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody gets more money every year. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, but they're so stocked that they could even flip some of their top players as the money goes up and get a haul in prospects and still be, you know, strong farm system. They're in a really great position for a long
time. No, they're in a great position. And Forrest Whitley's coming. He's great. And they have the pieces. They're in a great place. They're going to win the division. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you really just have two starting pitchers right now. So I'm not saying that the Mariners are like, oh, they should strike now, because I'm more curious what the Astros are going to be doing.
Yeah. I think the Mariners have to have the mindset, though, is that they're not moving off the pedestal anytime soon. And if I'm the Mariners, too, I got to be thinking, wow, the A's look pretty amazing. A totally unexpected 90 plus win season. Where are we in this mix? So step back.
You know, and I feel bad for having left them out of the conversation of great teams, but like that Oakland team the last half of the season was like one of the best teams in baseball. Now, can they keep that going again this year? I mean, they're not losing much.
No, and they'll be eventually gaining players back that were, you know, elbow surgeries and shoulder surgeries, and Manaea comes back, and who was the other pitcher that had surgery? There was another one. Can't remember his name.
Can't remember,
but yeah, they'll be better in you know 2020 for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see.
Let's see what else we got. We have. Did we ever talk about Zunino? Did that happen in our last podcast?
I don't know if we did, but yeah, Zunino went over to the Rays. I think we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rays look good. You know, the Rays are looking pretty decent.
It's a 90-win team last year. It's a 90-win team
with an intentional approach to pitching that is unconventional.
Yeah, but they'll resettle that once they get like pitchers that can actually, like, they have what, three now, right? They have Snell, Glasnow, and then probably Honeywell, right? Honeywell's supposed to be back in the game this year. So I think if they don't have to do weird starters and all that stuff, or beginners, or what was it that
openers.
We called it?
Openers.
Yeah. I don't think they will. I think they'll go back, because I think the other way is the better way to do it. Though, you know, if you're trying to mix things up and whatever, obviously they think if they have the talent, you want to start them, because they didn't have breaks. They didn't give an opener to Blake Snell.
Right. Right.
But maybe you do that for the fifth starter. Right. You know, that guy who's like, the Felix Hernandez type, you know, like maybe the Mariners should do that with Felix.
So,
or just put him out to pasture.
It's getting pretty close to that. Yeah. Although he'll say that he's still got, you know, more years in him, and it'll be the sad day for Mariners fans when he moves on to somewhere else. But maybe he does.
You mean the glue factory?
Maybe he goes to Houston and improves his spin rate. Who knows?
That's right.
But one of the best parts about Hot Stove is all the rumors, and I'm sure you've plugged in. I have been unplugged, but there's probably a ton of rumors flying in regards to who's going where, trades that are, you know, in the works, tons of stuff.
Well, like Madison Bumgarner is apparently on the block.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday.
I don't know that they'll get much for him. And if you look at what the Pirates got for Andrew McCutchen, oddly enough, with the Giants the year before, they didn't really get that much. So if I were the Giants, I would just keep Bumgarner and just like let him play out his thing and then franchise tag him, or whatever they call it, qualifying offer. Sorry, a little football mixed in there. And then send him on his way that way. But you're not going to get much if you trade him. And just why not just have him stick around the team? Maybe he gets really hot.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a hot half a season, and then you can trade him mid-season for something.
Yeah, it makes no sense to trade him now.
Better for the player if you trade him mid-season, too, because then he can't get a qualifying offer mm-hmm. on him. So that saves him money on his next contract.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so – and the Phillies are in on everybody. The rumors are that they're in on Kimbrel, on Corbin, on Harper, and Machado. They're in on trading for Paul Goldschmidt. You know how much the Phillies love having corner infielders.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, we'll just put him in center field. Put Goldschmidt in center field. He's got legs. Like, dude, you got Carlos Santana. Is a first. He's a. You have a DH who playing first. Who I don't know. We still don't know why they signed him. They're like, oh no, we'll just move him to third. Like, you can't just move someone to third. You have a first baseman playing left field in Rhys Hoskins. That's your first baseman. What are you doing? Build your team right, you weirdos.
Well, they're apparently going to spend a lot of money. So we'll
see.
They
should.
Is it Corbin and Machado? Corbin and Harper? Is it Harper and Machado? They're going to spend silly money.
And also, they have prospects they could trade for one of these, you know, whatever big move. They have really good prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have some good prospects. Just like I'm running down the list in my head, like, okay, they have like three really good prospects. Maybe they don't want to give up those guys.
What about the Goldschmidt and Greinke? I heard that there's a possibility of them packaging those two.
Well, I think the idea is Greinke's contract is terrible. And I think everyone, when he signed that contract, everyone was like, oh, great job stealing him from the Dodgers, but also that's a terrible contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we'll just pay him $5 million more a year than what the Dodgers were willing to pay. The Dodgers, who have basically three times as much money as Arizona to spend, they're like, yeah, we'll just outspend the Dodgers. Sounds good. Worked out fine for the Dodgers. They've been to the World Series 2 years in a row, but that's contract is they're going to have to eat some of it. Mm-hmm. They're going to just try to get rid of as much as they can. And then Goldschmidt, I guess they're just planning on not re-signing him. I don't know. Like, I feel like some of these teams need to get re-signed. This is an idea I had. I remember reading about Al Kaline many years ago and how he just played for the Tigers through thick and thin and whatever. What if you had a thing where you could, if you signed with the team that you're with or whatever, that you could get more money?
Hmm.
If you re-sign with a team, there's like a commissioner's fund that triggers a thing. That sounds like it's not going to really work. But anyway, I had this idea of like some way to incentivize either a team to kick in a little more money for the player to stay. Like, I think players staying helps
good for the
fans.
Fan base. Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Think it's good for the fans. Is it great for the team? I don't know. But someone's going to pay him stupid money. You might as well, I don't know, maybe the league can subsidize it, though I'm not big on like teams getting subsidized. But at the same time, like if it helps the league as its own entity. It's not like we're asking for a government subsidy here. We're not GM.
No, but years ago, people were
loyal.
We're
not like the banking system.
They were loyal to the name on the front of the jersey. Now they're loyal to players because they move around so much.
Right.
You know, the fans are more interested in where their favorite player is playing than they are with the younger fans. Older fans are still, you know, dyed in the wool. Hometown fans type.
Right. Dyed in the polyester.
My voice is fading.
It's okay, John.
You have to pull me through.
I'm just going to do most of the talking here. Anyway, so lots of stuff, lots of rumors going around, but not actually a lot happening just yet. I mean, I guess the Donaldson signing is kind of cool, but the big stuff is Harper and Machado, and then there's a lot of people, a lot of players I think are waiting for what happens with Harper and Machado. So
yeah, what the money's going to look like.
Yeah.
And where they go, and who's, you know, but teams are sitting back waiting too. It's like, well, you know, we know those guys are going to make the big money, and if that trigger gets pulled during the winter meetings, then that changes everything. The faucets and floodgates open.
Yeah.
So that'll be more fun for fans as if that happens.
Yeah.
But there's a really good chance that those two don't sign until January.
What a couple of jerks. Living up to their reputations. Anyway, hey, so we've been away for a while. I don't know if anyone noticed, but maybe you guys out there listening felt better about your general lives and were like, oh, what's going on? You know what? It's because we didn't do a podcast for 3 weeks. So we got some old news we want to catch up on. Awards week happened like 2 weeks ago. Rookie of the Year, MVP, Cy Young. Rookie of the Years were Acuna and Otani.
And how close was it with Acuna and Soto?
It was not close.
Not close.
Though it was not as close as it should have been.
Should have been close. Statistically, they're almost identical.
And also, like, the on-base percentage. Did you see Juan Soto had an over 400 on-base percentage?
Yeah.
I almost said 400%. That basically would mean every time he went to the plate, he walked four times.
He's good.
He's a great player. He's a great player. I just traded him in one of my in my other league. I traded him for Mookie Betts.
Oh, Homer.
A slightly more expensive Mookie Betts. Yeah, it just, you know, it's I'm making a big push to win that league.
Okay.
And Soto is great, great young player, and in 5 years, obviously, will be better than Betts. But I'm talking about next year.
Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking of Betts, he was the MVP, I'm assuming.
He was the MVP. Him and then Trout and then Jose, what's his name? I can never remember that guy's name. I don't know what
it's Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez.
So JD didn't even make the top three.
Well, here's the thing, right? The defense.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone now, I think, the first thing they do when they're looking at the awards is they look at WAR.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there in awards.
Right. You should. It's part of the...
Like, WAR, wins above replacement, wins above replacement designation system.
Right.
Awards. AWART. Anyway, the I guess it's the American wins above replacement. Anyway. Yeah, so I think they look at that first, and then they kind of like... Then they start looking at the other numbers. And with JD Martinez playing a bad outfield...
Mm-hmm.
And also being a DH, I think this the negatives on that defensively, just it's too much. And those other three players really were just quite superior.
Mm-hmm.
But JD, like, you know, 10 years ago, JD would have been at least second place with his numbers. The offensive numbers were staggering.
And Yelich, how close was the Yelich win in the
Was
National?
Not close.
Not close.
Was not close. It was that was also a blowout. And then Cy Young, DeGrom, of course, and then Snell won, which is what we thought.
A little bit of surprise, I think, but I thought he should have. He would, especially the way he finished out the season. His last eight starts were phenomenal.
Yeah, great, great season for him. And I'm glad. You know, I'm always glad to see that even on a bad team, they're not factoring that stuff in anymore. And
yeah.
I mean, they do like 5%, but not like they used to, where it was like, right. Oh, they're not on a winning team. Well, forget them.
And Snell was an all-star snub.
Right.
He only got That's on the right. team because somebody was injured. But, yeah. He was – that really bothered him. Maybe that had something to do with his motivation to finish out the season.
So they just got to do that again next spring?
Year. Right.
Yeah, and then next, you know, they'll find some way to like – like the spring training all-star and then just be like specifically don't let Blake Snell on the team right. And then he can go
don't let him in the clubhouse when the doors open
pout in his in his bathroom and I don't know why they don't like me I'm gonna go pitch and I'm gonna pitch like they've never seen and he's gonna go out and he's gonna mow everybody down and then they're not gonna let him on the all-star team
but one of the things that I love doesn't he look like he should have pitched back in the 40s and 50s that look his face he just kind of looks like a player from the 40s and 50s
okay
baseball card no yeah
no.
He just looks he doesn't look like a modern day player to me
oh okay
he should have the old wool flannels on and the baggy pants and the cap, you know, worn cap and looking in and doing the old wind up. Yeah, he just has that look about him.
Okay.
You know, it's because I'm old, so.
Also, you're clearly on some sort of medication.
Actually, I did. I took some antihistamine last night.
So. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Get it going. There's your high lie.
Whoa, brought it all the way back. All the way.
And then manager, I don't really care. Snicker won, right?
Snicker and Melvin, wasn't it?
Alex Cora, who should have won, didn't win. And then I thought Bud Black should have won for what he did with that Rockies pitching staff. But That's fine. Who cares? No one cares about managers of the year.
Yeah.
Hell, certainly the Marlins don't, right? Didn't they fire Joe Girardi once after he won
Manager of the Year? Yeah, so it doesn't really...
But that was back in the dark days,
right?
Before the new logo.
Before the new logo, the improved logo. Well, I hope they do, though.
I'm telling you, it looks like a fish humping that big M is what it looks like.
And I haven't seen the new jerseys. I haven't had a chance to look at that. But I really do hope they do an all-black or a dark gray version where they do, you know, fully decked out in the dark theme. That would be kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
More options to sell uniforms. And it's like not like people
uniforms
are going to be running.
Designed by Guillermo del Toro.
Right. It's not like anybody's going to be running to the store lining up to buy those because there's nobody on the team that – and no one's going to buy a JT Realmuto jersey because he won't be there.
That's true. That's true. That will be. It does seem like he's going
to
get traded, right? Like
he has
the agent saying he won't play. The team is saying, "Well, we don't know. Like, just trade him somewhere."
Right.
Like that's the guy that the Dodgers are interested in. The Nationals were, but then they signed Kurt Suzuki.
Right.
But apparently, the Astros and the Dodgers are the two teams most interested in.
And have the most to deal too. So.
And they have all the prospects to trade and. Of course, the Dodgers also have catcher prospects to trade, so that's
interesting.
Depends on what the Marlins want.
So Joe Mauer made it official. He retired after a 15-season run with the Twins.
We thought we talked about him being a free agent and how weird that was to see, and he was just like, you know what? I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
Right.
I retire. You can't fire me because I quit.
And another big retirement last week, too. Adrian Beltre.
Oh, yes. How did I not have that on here? Adrian Beltre. Hall of Fame, right?
Hall of Fame. He definitely is. One of the things that they had, I guess, I don't know if it was Major League Baseball put it together, the Rangers put it together, but it was like this highlight clip of him.
Yeah.
And the back end of it was all of people trying to touch his hair, which was hysterical.
Yes.
It was awesome. It was a great clip because he absolutely cannot stand anybody touching his head. He goes ballistic.
Yeah.
But he's just was a great, great character for the game. Love the game. Love playing
that
it.
Big swing.
Showman, the big swing, drop to the knee
great
every
defense.
Once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great all-around player. 21 years. It's a productive career. And he goes out, you know, it wasn't like he had a schlep year. It wasn't the greatest, injuries and stuff, but still productive. I like to see that
but
when a player
I admire it, though,
still.
Right? Like, he could still play.
He could, yeah.
And he's just like, you know what? I'm a multimillionaire. I'm going to Hall of Fame. I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
Did he ever? He never won a championship, right?
I think
he played in the World Series, right? Because he was part of that Rangers team that went to the World Series twice in a row, right?
Yeah, I think he was there. Yeah.
Might not have been. I don't know.
I think he was.
Who can know these things? No, wait a minute. Was he?
Who cares? Was in 10-11? When they went, or 11 and 12?
Yeah, no, because he was on what year was he on the Red Sox? Was that 7? He was on the team. Wasn't he on the team that won? I think he might have won a World Series with the Red Sox.
We'll have our staff check that out and we'll report.
I mean, I have two computers right in front of me where I could, and a cell phone where I could look this up right now and know the answer, and I don't care. Let's move on to the next
Let's move on. I don't even know who this is. Kikuchi?
Left-hander from Japan is going to be posted or has been posted. I didn't check this morning to see whether it's up. But, yeah, he's going to be posted by the Cebu Lions.
Is he an Ohtani type? Dominant?
No, he's more like I've seen him as like the fifth or sixth best pitcher available. He's a little bit more like a Dallas Keuchel type.
Okay.
So he's more in that area.
But someone to watch for sure.
Someone to watch. Someone who's going to help a team. Maybe a fourth starter could be as good as a third or even a two at times, but definitely a valuable addition to a major league team.
Oh, maybe the Mariners are interested.
Yes, sure. Why not, right?
Yeah. So that's new news just happened within the last few days?
Well, it's been like everyone knows
Brewing.
This is going to happen, okay. And then it's official.
So he's the biggest name coming out of the...
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what else we got. The commissioner, has a new contract through 2024.
That's right. 2024.
So I guess he's been doing something right, huh?
Well, here's the thing. He has all those crazy ideas that he spits out every now and then. Like, what if we shorten the game to 3 innings? And he doesn't listen to any of our ideas, like
he should.
Having, like, you know,
pinball baseball,
or like drones attacking players,
right?
Or arming the fans with t-shirt cannons.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm just saying, that would be really like next level stuff. But if you were wondering whether, oh, is the sport doing well? Oh, first of all, the answer is hell yes. And all of this other stuff about it's not doing well and whatever is just like football propagandists trying to undercut America's real pastime, baseball. Because why else would Fox do a contract extension 3 years before the end of their deal, wherein they give baseball a raise for the next 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
As it was a 30% raise.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That means, what that means is the sport is doing great.
Right.
Because, again, live TV is where it's at, man.
That's where they're making
people
their money.
People can't turn away.
Yeah.
They can't turn away. It's live. It's there. There's a commercial. Boom. You don't have to worry about, you know, well, did it not stream properly or did it? It's a commercial. You can't skip over it. I mean, some people do the thing where they record a game and then start it like a half an hour in and then skip over. Like, what are you doing? Just watch the game. Get yourself something to do during the commercial breaks. Go to the bathroom. Have a snack. Make a bagel.
Well, Manfred made some other news politically, right? By changing the protocol for donations. What happened there?
Okay, so in the there was a Senate runoff in Mississippi, right?
Right. That was yesterday. How did that turn out?
The Republican did win.
Okay.
The one that the league had given money to.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what happened was one of the owners of the Giants gave some money to this lady, and the Major League Baseball had given money to this agent, this lady, or I say this lady, but the senator. She was the sitting senator, though she was just a replacement. She wasn't actually voted in. Also, first female senator for the state of Mississippi. Congratulations, Mississippi. That's a good move. I know some people are like, oh, but it's a Republican. Like, hey, it's still a woman. Like, let's
progress.
Let's take our progress where we can get it, people. I don't care left or right, one way or the other. They both seemed like they had flaws in that race there. She had made some comment about, like, it was like this really off-color comment about someone had invited someone. She was like, I would go see a public hanging.
Right. If I was invited. Right. Yeah.
Right. But it was like in reference to a thing, and sort of it got taken out of context a little. And then people were like, well, what she really means is she wants to see a lynching.
Right.
Which I don't make that mental connection myself, but
it's just the insensitivity, I think, of the Deep South. That's all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying it's the correct wording. I certainly, you shouldn't say that either way. Seeing someone die is not supposed to be a good thing. It's not the Super Bowl. though dreams do die on that field.
Right. That's true.
Just ask Dodger fans. They all witnessed a public hanging.
Right.
sorry, that's terrible. Anyway.
You're not going to be running for office anytime soon.
Yeah. So anyway, so she made this comment, and of course, you know, whatever. The media is a little biased against Republicans, and they just tore it apart. And people started demanding refunds on their money. Baseball included demanded a refund on their $5,000. It had basically just been given to her by a lobbyist for baseball because they're like, you know, they're trying to keep their antitrust thing in place, and they got to grease the pockets.
Money.
Like the people. Yeah. Political stuff has nothing to do with like her beliefs or, you know, whether she's pro-life or pro-choice or blah, 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 or universal health care.
It's single just like, issue, hey, we single issue donation.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So now the league has decided it will no longer let lobbyists just give money to whomever they want. Anyway.
And now so that money can be funneled to the World Series champion Red Sox World Series share, which is huge.
Right, which...
Huge numbers.
Yeah, $400,000 a full share goes to, for the Red Sox. Each player.
It's almost as much as the minimum... For a rookie, not a rookie, but the minimum salary is what, something.
Yeah, so you're talking about like some of the cheaper guys on the team basically just doubled their income.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet outcome for them.
Yeah, I mean, heck, even the guys making $20 million is still like
it's a nice long weekend.
Yeah, So what's that, a little 2% bonus? That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a little kicker at the end of the year. Not bad at all. So Babe Ruth gets a Medal of Freedom. What was this for?
Okay, so are you familiar with the Medals of Freedom that presidents give out?
Medal of Freedom is something that someone has to be deceased in order to get? Is that?
Or no, no. You give them to living people and dead people. Oh, and okay. It's basically like, I heard one person describe it this way. It was like basically like they ask the president who should get a medal. And it's basically just whatever famous people they can think of off the top of their head. Like, okay. Obama gave a Freedom Medal to Steven Spielberg. And Oprah got one. So why not Babe Ruth? Okay. And I think Elvis got one this year also.
So what is the?
It's a weird. It's an
opportunity to generate news cycle.
Yeah, like it feels like a big PR stunt, and then but also like you can, you know, like one of the people that Trump gave him to was a big donor to the Republican Party. She also does great work, philanthropic work, which many people, big donors on both sides, do. They do really great philanthropic work. It's not all like, oh, monsters trying to destroy the country.
Right, paying for caravans.
Right, paying for caravans or like, you know, funding this or being the
collusion.
Being the money behind Antifa or collusion. And
right.
Yeah, so... But sometimes, you know, when you've got billions of dollars, you're just like, hey, you know what? I think I'd rather have this kind of
PR.
Whatever. This kind of PR. So you do that. And maybe someone prefers Republican, prefers Democrat, whatever. So they just give these medals of freedom to whoever the president decides. And I guess, honestly, whether you like Donald Trump or not, doesn't matter. Babe Ruth is a perfect Donald Trump Medal of Freedom. This is just something that's, to me, that shows so perfect about that.
So here's another perfect headline that I'm sure is one of your favorites of this week, is the Royals hiring Mike Matheny as a special advisor.
Yes. Well, because we thought, are the Royals in tank mode? Like, are they trying to lose as many games as possible and to rebuild? Yes. That's why they're bringing in Mike Matheny.
Because he'll just accelerate that process.
He just gives them that edge at losing that other teams won't have.
Right, but he's being hired as a special advisor, so he's not going back to the bench anytime soon. So he's got to work his way
back. One can assume that the advising he will be doing will be consistent with his managerial skills.
Right. So
we'll just go ahead and assume that...
Yeah, the Matheny-Yost combo will be fun to watch.
Can you even imagine? Oh, my God.
I did see this headline. I didn't read the story, but a scientist named a beetle after Jose Bautista.
That's right. So it's like Beetleus Bautistae.
Wow.
And this is a Canadian scientist who discovered a new breed of beetle. It's a weevil.
Okay.
They discovered it in the Dominican Republic, where Jose Bautista is from. Jose Bautista, also one of the better Toronto Blue Jays players of... You know,
team history
of recent, right? Yeah. And even of team history, yes, absolutely. But he's also probably the best Dominican-born Toronto Blue Jays guy.
Such an honor.
So they named it after him. Yeah, it's cool, right?
Yeah.
The only question is, we don't know whether this new beetle bat flips, but we can assume that at a certain point, all of its skills disappear and no one wants it. It's like too easy. Like the Jose Bautista jokes,
There's plenty. This was, a little, I don't know what I say, it was a surprise because the Reds were dangling Raisel Iglesias as a trade chip last year, and now they signed him to a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Does that send any signs?
I don't know how I feel about it, you know, because are they like, well, they want to keep him around, or are they thinking like, oh, well, this adds more value to him, or is it the same value? I don't know. I don't understand the Reds. I'm going to be honest with you.
They have some good young players.
They do have some good young players. That's a bad team, though.
Yeah.
They have some good prospects coming, too, but I don't understand that move. Like, you not closers. Don't keep the closers.
Right.
You trade them off. Get their mid-season.
Else.
But maybe the plan is to do mid-season, right? That's what the Padres did. They traded Brad Hand, mid-season, and got, Francisco Mejia for him. So maybe that's the plan. Is like, okay, good. So they're trading him to a team, and that team knows they're going to have him for 2.5 years.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be the deal. They're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Next headline, Chris Archer has hernia surgery. So is that something that will slow him down going into the season, or is that he'll be good?
I think he's supposed to be fine coming into the spring, though, you know, you have to wonder if this is something that was affecting him mid-season. I remember they shut him down for the last start of the season, but he had started to put together a nice little run with the Pirates. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those weird trades where, like, Archer went to the Pirates, and I think that's actually a better fit for him than Tampa Bay. And then Glasnow went to Tampa Bay, and I think that's a better fit for him.
He did fine.
I think Glasnow next year is going to be a top 25 pitcher. I think with the strikeouts, yeah, the control's never going to ever fully be there. But he's going to strike out, you know, 9-10 guys per mm-hmm. 9 innings pitched. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's a great pitcher.
So our last headline for the week is MLB strikes the first gaming partnership with MGM. So what is the partnership structure?
Right. So more money for the league. Also, as a side note, the league also just signed some deal with some streaming company, hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, baseball's making so much money.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is basically like MGM gets to use the baseball team names and logos in its gambling endeavors, and they get a little kickback. As far as I know, at this point, it's exclusive for MGM, and none of the other bookmakers get to do it. You know, it's any way they can make money, these leagues are doing it. I just wish they also then didn't require the public to pay for stadiums through all this. I love the money. You make money, great. This is capitalism. I mean, I guess technically it's capitalism if you can convince a community to fork over their money to pay for your stadium. I guess that's also capitalism, but it's a sort of the ugly side of capitalism.
One of the other things that I saw a headline on, too, is that the Mariners have changed the name of their stadium naming rights. It's now T-Mobile Park or T-Mobile Field. It's no longer Safeway or Safeway. Safeway's a grocery store. Safeco. Sorry about that. Safeco Field. Yeah, it just sounds T-Mobile. But somebody had made a comment, so they were really hoping that Starbucks would step up to it and they'd rename it Starbucks Grounds.
Oh, okay.
Thought that was pretty clever. That would have been fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. There's naming rights.
It'd be annoying.
News for you.
Great. What's next? Let's do some starting
Let's
nine.
Let's do some starting nine. Yeah. What have we got for Stan Lee, in honor of Stan Lee passing last
Rest
week?
Rest in peace.
2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Yeah.
148 years old.
Yeah. And still kicking until the last breath.
Yes.
Because he was still in his movies. You know, he gets a little cameo. Propped him up, said a line, all good. So what do you got? Nine players with Stan Lee character names?
Yeah. So Stan Lee, of course, created some of the most famous Marvel characters, Spider-Man, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all characters that he either created or co-created, and we got them mixed in with Major League Baseball player names.
Let's do it.
So starting off with Spider-Man, I got Chad Spinderman.
Okay.
Chad Pinder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my best work. Next one, Trevor Story.
Story?
Trevor Story. Yeah, Story, Trevor Story, Thor, right?
Got it.
Justin Silverlander Surfer.
Okay, that's good.
I guess technically that's Silverlander.
Mm-hmm.
Silverlander. Enunciation is not my strong suit. Byron Man Buxton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Corey Dr. Strangenberg. Corey Spangenberg, mm-hmm. Spangenberg. Denard Black Spanther.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. Felt a little weird using a non-African-American player, so I went with the old Denard Span.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael Daredevers.
Okay, that's good.
Magnetoris Sierra.
Good.
And last, and definitely not least, Professor Xander Bogaerts.
There you go. Bravo. Thank you, Stan, for all the joy that you're bringing to the world.
Good job. Good effort.
Never in a million years would have thought it would have turned into this, I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
A little comic book Well, the comic book guy turns into one of the most influential creators of our time.
So because we had so many headlines to go through this week, we're going to skip around the horn. We're going to jump right into extra innings and what's going on outside the world of baseball.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Le'Veon Bell, after all his posturing and threats to not play for the season, looks like he's going to stay true to his word.
Yeah, he's sitting out for the season, and he will go into free agency next year, getting the deal that he wants. And you got to assume maybe he loses 10% off that deal because people are going to be like, he didn't miss a year. But
he could be. They could look at it as
not guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, but they could look at it as like it's not like he's coming off an injury. He's going to be healthier and has a year of rest. So maybe he'll be roaring to go.
The question becomes, because he's not in the league, how much weed is this guy smoking on the daily? It's got to be all the time, right? It's got to be a pound a day, right?
Got to be. Because some of the stuff that he's been saying is, you know, about it's his career, it's his longevity. He wants to do it his way, not their way. It's not like they were trying to rip him off, although he thinks they were. And I guess the way that the Steelers structure deals is only the first year is guaranteed, and he's like, I don't want that.
Right. Yeah, and he shouldn't. I mean, if that's the thing about the NFL is, like, these guys are putting their
lives
everything
on the
line. And, yeah, like, oh, after the first year, we can just cut you. And, no, he wants some more control than that. And I apologize if anyone took my drug joke in a bad way, but I was reminded of Ricky Williams' time off.
Right, where he smoked bales.
Anyway, and because he can't get tested and it's legal in most states now, why not? You know, get out there. It's just like drinking now, you know.
Right.
Except the thing I don't like is why can they do it in public, right? If you can get secondhand, if you can get a contact high, that's different than alcohol. Like, no one's drinking alcohol and then like spraying it out into the air. And then you're like, oh, I got some alcohol in my mouth.
I'll tell you, I'd rather smell that than cigarette smoke any day.
I would rather smell no smoke.
No, I'm with you on that.
That's my position on the smoke situation.
No, I was dropping a friend off at the airport, and as soon as he opens the door to our car, there's this tremendous amount of dubage in the air.
Nice.
And he looks at the car in front of us, and I'm not profiling here, but it was one of the Cadillac SUVs.
Okay, yeah.
With nice rims. The door opens up. This dude comes out, big guy with slits for eyes, and my friend looks at him and goes, it was you. And the guy just started laughing. It's a pretty funny scene at the old airport. But yes, smoke billowing out of the car.
Nice.
Like a scene from
basically
a movie.
Doing like a Le'Veon Bell thing.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell thing, sure.
Yeah,
so the Kardashians, the Wests, I guess you would call them, they secured a commercial flight all to themselves.
They used a 747 plane as a private plane.
Why would they need something that big?
Here's the thing, because her butt.
That bubble on the top of the 747?
Yes. Here's the thing. Kim Kardashian is going to win a Nobel Peace Prize because of her work with the... All right, I couldn't do it. Anyway, it's fine. Whatever. She's doing a lot of good work with the criminal reform stuff. Maybe not a Nobel Peace Prize. But then they do turn around new stuff like this, and it's like, you guys, come on.
Right. So this next one is interesting.
Yes.
Catherine Zeta-Jones admits that she and Michael Douglas have an open relationship. Did she qualify what she meant by that?
Well, no, like an open relationship. Like, she goes and bangs whoever she wants. Here's the thing. Duh.
Well, he's not going out banging whoever he wants.
Yeah. Well, that's...
His pickings are probably pretty slim.
When the wife is 30 years younger and it's an open relationship, is it ever the man who's out there banging chicks?
No.
It's the woman.
Right.
And look, she's like, hey... How am I going to get up in this industry? She says, I'm going to marry Michael Douglas. And then she says, Michael, go get me an Oscar. And he says, okay, good. I'll pull the strings and get you an Oscar. I got you an Oscar. Now what? I'm going to go bang dudes. All right, great. Are we still married? Yes. Okay, great.
That's a good
story.
That's
just the BIZ, man. That's just the entertainment industry.
Yeah. She's working it well.
Yeah.
So this next one is for you.
Yeah, so this is local news, right? Uh-huh. We normally cover big stories, but I want to go a little local here.
Okay.
A wedding photographer, female, was arrested after having sex with a guest at the wedding, and then she urinated on a tree.
Oh.
And the thing that I find amazing about this is, of course, it's a great story.
Okay.
First of all, it's not Florida.
That's a,
that will surprise many.
Right.
This is Texas. But also, this is a woman doing something that men have been doing for years.
And
good for her.
Right. The, especially
take
the urinating
back
on
the
a
power.
Tree part. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like,
part.
Yeah, you're banging a wedding guest. Yeah. That's a guy thing, right? How many movies have we seen? Like, hey, the studly guy, all right, bangs a chick, all right. Then goes and pees on a tree. Maybe you haven't seen that too many times in unison, but you see guys peeing on trees all the time. Hell, there's three guys outside my apartment right now peeing on trees.
All right, I'm sure you can smell it.
And but here's a woman taking back the power. I love it.
That's a great story.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's going to be a movie. It's going to be called The Wedding Photographer.
I love it.
Yeah, get on that.
Yeah.
I think that takes care of the extra innings. We're good.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's coming up next?
Find out which teams are switching into tank mode on the next episode of The Winter of Our Discontent.